missions here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Pastor Taylor had mentioned that Archie and Ruth, they've been with us, part of our missions team for 25 years. And we had a team of our own go down there 2 years ago. It was John and Jim and Armin and Linda and myself and Bobby. And I have to tell you, I don't remember if we even told you this 2 years ago, but I sent all the names down and they're working on all the housing arrangements for our group. And we get down there and they didn't realize Bobby was a girl. So Bobby was originally bunking in the room with John, Jim, and I. And they show up at the airport, and of course we had no clue of this, but someone was on a cell phone real quick trying to make some alternative plans, someplace for Bobby to sleep other than on the street. but it all worked out. We had a great time down there. What a tremendous ministry. And I can still picture it clearly in my mind, their first church, which was their first house, actually. And they went there from the States, okay? And their children were used to the States and living arrangements here. And then they moved down there, and that first house they bought, y'all had to have cried, because it was rough. It was really rough. But that was also their church for a long time, and it's still used for different church functions. So praise the Lord, God has blessed their ministry, their faithfulness to missions, to their ministry, and not just to their church, but establishing, I'm going to say everything there is to say about your ministry, but establishing a ministry that is now producing pastors going out and planting new churches. As Archie told us at supper tonight, here in the States, a guy will graduate from Bible college to be a pastor, and he sends out resumes in hopes that a church is going to hire him. Well, they don't have churches down there for guys coming out of their seminaries to go to. So they're planting another church. And it's definitely an exciting biblical model. I'm going to have you come and fill in the big holes that I left.
Buenos nachos. I'm sorry. I'm trying to confuse you here with your Spanish. It's buenas noches, not nachos. Okay. All right. Well, you know what? What a joy. What a blessing it has been to be with you. We love this place. And if I lived anywhere in this area, no doubt this will be my church. We feel right at home. And we feel that we have a friends here and family. Thank you so much. Thank you. I don't know. I would say this probably one of the churches in the United States that is investing more in Uruguay than any other church. Of course, you started supporting us. Then you support the Rayfields. They took over our Bible college and seminary, doing a tremendous work. What a wonderful gift they have been to us. Thank you for supporting them. And then you're also supporting the Chauvias. And I saw Gabriel as a brand new Christian, to see him grow and become a pastor. And he's just a tremendous blessing. Well, let me just briefly tell you that what we are doing here tonight and what we have been doing this week, it's very biblical, okay? Sadly, many, many churches, they have no idea what a missionary conference is, or they don't support missionaries. One of our convictions as independent Baptists, okay, we're not better than anybody else. But as independent Baptists, we have a conviction that the responsibility of missions was not given to a denomination or to a board, but was given to the local New Testament church. And so It is churches, as we look in the book of Acts, chapter 13, that they send out the Barnabas and Paul to the mission field. And then at the end of chapter 14, remember, they came back and they share. They gather the church at Antioch and they share with them what God had done. And that's what we hear. So some missionaries are here that you are looking into, possibility as the Lord leads to take on for support. But also there are other us, like myself, that we're here to share with you what God has done through your prayers and financial support. Some churches, you know, and I don't mean this, please don't take it wrong, but I was a Southern Baptist pastor for 6 years. We never had a missionary. We didn't know any needs. We didn't hardly pray for missionaries. We send the money. We just say, fill out the treasure. We'll give us, send out a check to the Foreign Mission Board or to the cooperative program. But there was no relationship between the churches and the missionaries. That's not what we see in the Bible. And there are severe consequences. I'm not going to emphasize on that, but let me tell you, I met many, many missionaries with the Southern Baptists. Our heart has been, Ruth and my heart, in missions. And I remember how missionaries felt, Southern Baptists. I remember specifically in Honduras, a missionary took me out for coffee one day in a really little restaurant in Tegucigalpa. He pulled this little curtain and he said, "Brother Perez, you see that building over there?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Yeah, that's the hospital." He says, "That's where my dad, that's where my wife was the last 6 months of her life before she went to be with the Lord." And he said, you know, that he was a Southern Baptist. Okay, that's when I was Southern Baptist. And he said, you know, all those years, all those months that she was there, no pastor ever called. Nobody, no church ever sent a little note saying that they were praying for us. And he started to cry. And he said, you know, churches, they don't care about missions. As I look back and I say, wow. Well, those are consequences of doing missions your own way. We have a method to do missions and it's here. And we as independent Baptists are searching and see, we want to do missions as close as possible as this book teaches us to. And as we read here, there's a relationship between the missionaries and churches. And we feel that way. What a joy it is to be here, to be able to share with you what God is doing in Uruguay. We are just about to see this presentation. Let me share with you, to go a little farther, something that I think is really exciting. You send us out. Okay, 25 years ago, we established the church, the main church there in Colonia. And then we established the church in Nueva Alvesia, which is 45 minutes. You guys were there as well. Now, that church, God has blessed so much. Now, that church is going and starting another church in Esilda Paulier. And so that will make this church, what, a great-grandmother or something like that. Anyway, well, that is exciting. Thank you so much. So we're going to show this presentation now. As you watch this people, I want you to realize if this is fruit of your ministry. So you have given, you have prayed. Some of you give with sacrifice for missions. You have to let some things go so you can give to missions. Thank you for doing so. So we see this as an extension of your ministry. So as you watch this video, think of Grace Baptist Church down south.
We are the Perez family, serving in Uruguay since 1997. Welcome to Uruguay, a small country nestled in between two giants. It is a country rich in Spanish and Italian heritage, where Spanish is spoken, and the biggest source of income is the rich soil, cattle production, and tourism. Uruguay has very warm people, educated people, and a strong middle class. Because Uruguay is the most atheist country in South America, the people are very liberal in their views, with many Uruguayans suffering from depression. For years, Uruguay has been the least evangelized country in South America. But with God's help and your prayers and support for us, we want to see that fact changed. Welcome to our ministry in Colonia del Sacramento. Our goal is to lead people to Christ, disciple them, train leaders, and start churches. Our prayer and endeavor has been to make our ministry in Colonia a greenhouse. This is where a very strong church is established, and from there start new churches. God has given us a great team that is essential in our ministry. We are grateful for our past, but with great anticipation, we look forward to our future. Our goals are to continue leading people to Christ and train them. See missionaries sent out from our church in Colonia, like Pastor Gustavo and his family, who are going to start a church in Artigas, a city bordering Brazil, and David and Andrea Gonzalez, who have answered God's call in their lives to serve Him and will soon start raising support as missionaries to Uruguay. Continue strengthening our new ministry with Recovering Addicts, a group of about 40 men whose lives are being transformed with God's power. See more churches started in cities like Rosario, Carmelo, and Dolores. Thank you for being a part of our labor. Thank you for investing in these lives. Pray for us. Pray for the souls of Uruguayans. And pray that Uruguay may cease to be the least evangelized country in South America. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light.
Okay, well, please continue to pray for us as we continue with our furlough here. 2 weeks ago, we were up in Iowa visiting Bethany. She's married to John Briley. John Briley is teaching their missions at Harvest Baptist College, and also he's a chaplain. But they also, in the next probably 2 years, they're looking forward to start raising support to go to Costa Rica. But we were there, and for the first time, Ruth and I had the blessing of taking care of our kids. They went, David and Andrea, John and Bethany went to a conference, a marriage conference, and we stayed with our 5 grandkids for almost 2 days. But it was like 5 minutes under the water. that was nice. That was nice. Well, let me tell you, continue to pray for us. We are eager to return. We are pretty much every day, and sometimes for hours, in touch with our people there, especially with the leaders. And God is doing great things. Great things are happening over there in all the different works. And please pray especially for this ministry, the rehab. We are seeing miracles there, but also great difficulties. And none of us are trained to deal with that kind of people. And so please pray, and that we will continue to see fruit, and but just amazing things. And pray even it's needed to have even a rehab for ladies, because drugs are a big issue over there in Uruguay. It is so sad, so tragic. So please continue to pray for that. Also pray for my dad. Will be turning 97, and my mom 94 in the next few weeks. And so my sister, my youngest sister, has been taking care of them for quite a bit. And they need a break. And so Ruth and I, we're looking forward to go and help a little bit. My sister and her husband has been with dealing with cancer, so it's been hard on them. And so, but also we want to go and spend some time with my parents. So please pray about that. So it looks like we will not be able to return to Uruguay probably until November. And but we want to be there. You know, I said I was not born in Uruguay, but I did get there as fast as I could. So that's how we feel. Amen. So I'm going to ask you at this moment, if you will please open your Bibles to the book of Acts. We're going to read out of the book of Acts. And chapter 26, Acts 26. And I love this book. I mean, this chapter. I mean, we should love all God's word. But I think Acts chapter 20, I just love this chapter because number one, here the Apostle Paul, you know, the great missionary, though greatly used by the Lord, he gives his personal testimony one more time. And he shares about how he came to know the Lord. And I don't know about you, but few things and there's nothing more exciting than to see people come to know the Lord. And I love to hear testimonies about how did you get saved, or tell me under what circumstances, and what a blessing is to see people come to know the Lord. And the second reason I love chapter 26, Acts 26, is because I believe that here we have a very clear description of what we as missionaries are supposed to be doing. What is the main job we're supposed to do? And so we'll read two verses, okay? We're going to read Acts 26, verse 18. And then we're going to read, it's one of the darkest verses in the Bible, and that's verse 28. When we see a person here, this is King Agrippa, we see that he almost got saved. But he did not get saved. He still ended up in hell unless he got saved after this verse. But here we see somebody that almost got saved, almost made it, but he didn't get saved. And so that's a really sad story. But as we go, I'll share with you why we need to read emphasize that verse this evening. Okay, Acts 26, verse 18, since you're going to be sitting down for the next 3 hours, would you please stand as we read? Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Don't walk out on me, okay? It's not going to be that long. But Acts 26, verse 18, okay? Acts 26, 18, and then we're going to jump to verse 28. He says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Verse 28, Acts 26:28, it says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadeth me to be a Christian. You may have a seat, please. Have you ever gotten a job description? Well, if you had a job, you got a job description, right? Now, I don't know. Do you all agree with me that it could be quite a mess if you get a job and you get no instructions? You have no idea what your responsibilities are? That could be a big mess, right? So we need to have a job description. And, the missionaries, let me tell you, missionaries, we get to do many things. And we get to see many, many needs. And you also see them here in the States, but I think they multiply. Sometimes it could be by many, many, many times the needs in other fields. I know in the Philippines, in Uruguay. Oh, things are doing better. I think the group, which we are so thankful for the group that came, they left such a testimony in our people. They still remember you all. But let me tell you, you came at a good time. And I think the economy was picking up for 9 years in a row. Now we're right at the edge of the falling. But, I can remember the year 2001, 2002, and 2003. Those were rough years in Uruguay. I'm talking about, where people, our people, they didn't have food in their table. Out of our whole church, one person had a permanent job. Nobody else. And so we have what is called money for ministry money. And Ruth and I, we will go to Brazil and we will buy big sacks of flour and rice and sugar, and they will come and make baskets. And of course, we wanted to first help our own people, but still, even people that were not from church will come. And it was hard. It was so hard. And I never forget this one. One time, this lady, maybe a 22-year-old lady, came and she clapped. Over there, you don't ring the bell, you don't knock, but you remember that? The dogs first, all the dogs come out after you. But this lady came and she clapped, and so that way I went out and she greeted me and she says, minister, she called me minister, I know you get a lot of people come and ask you for things, and I'm not here to ask you anything for free. But you know what? I want to share a need I have. He said, for the last 24 hours, he says, my 4-year-old little girl, she's been asking me for a piece of bread. And I don't have any bread. And I'm just heartbroken. And I don't care about me, but I want to go back to my house and I want to give my little girl a piece of bread. Can I do any job? Look, you can pick up those leaves. I want to know, you want me to clean up, help you, whatever you do. It says, but I just want to go and give a little piece of bread. And what a sad situation. And as we think of the needs that missionaries get to see, some missionaries, they need to get ready for what you're going to see. So many needs. And sometimes you get overwhelmed. You want to help as many people as possible. But when we look at the rehab, all this man and trying to help him and feed him. And so it's a big challenging, even though they do work at least 6 hours a day and trying to make it as sustainable as possible. But we see all those needs however, please pray for your missionaries that we will stay focused. And it's very easy to lose focus and somehow be fooled and think that as we meet those physical needs that we're doing, we're fulfilling the Great Commission. And you know, the main need, the greatest need of the of those people is Jesus. Is forgiveness of sins. It is to come to know salvation. And you know, I used to be kind of critical sometimes, but you know, it is easy to be misled. And you know, the main job, that's why they say the main responsibility of the missionary is to give out the gospel and share with our people that they need to also share with others the gospel. And you know, we have, I don't know, in other countries, but in Latin America, and especially in South America, we have very, very strong what is called the liberation theology. Have you heard of that? Liberation theology. Liberation theology actually was born in Central America, and it spread out like fire all over Latin America. And there was a book, a man named Gustavo Gutierrez wrote a book in 1971 that has impacted all Latin America. The name of this book was A Theology of Liberation. And let me just say with one phrase, what is the emphasis of this, the main doctrine of this book? It says, let the social needs of the people dictate the agenda of the church. Let the social needs of the people dictate the agenda of the church. What a tragedy. How sad. So many churches have adopted this, theology. This crooked theology. And so they think that the main responsibility of the church is to feed the poor and to give the shelter to those that need it. And yes, we have to do that. We have with a perfect example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He didn't just care about only spiritual needs. He cared about those needs. Don't you remember how he fed the 5,000? Didn't he heal those that were sick? So he cared for those needs. However, let's not forget that the main responsibility that we have as missionaries is to tell people how to be saved. Matthew 16:26, it says, "For what shall a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" So Jesus, the Apostle Paul, gave us an example of ministry. And yes, we need to care and help the needy. But let's remember that the greatest need those people have is forgiveness of sins. They need salvation. They need the Lord. And you know, if all we're doing is just social needs, I think we're making a big mistake. And we're not doing what we are there supposed, what we are there to do. And before we looked at this, the verse that we read in Acts 26:18, this, you know, we will never be able to do the job description, which the Apostle Paul got, if we do not understand the condition of the unsaved. And that's why, you know, it says Lamentations 3:5, it says, "My eyes affected my heart." My eyes affected my heart. You see, we need to look at people as in the condition they're in. And as we look at the unsaved, it's a tragic, sad picture. And as we read here in Acts 26:18, so Number one, you need to know that the unsaved people are blind. Unsaved people are blind. They do have eyes, but they cannot see. And that's why he says, look at the job description. So the Apostle Paul, Jesus, appears to him and pretty much says, Paul, you're going to be doing many things, many responsibilities. However, the main responsibility is, number one, he says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. To open their eyes. Unsaved people are blind. Just look around. You know, look at what is, if you, especially 2,000 years ago, think about of a blind person. Oh, how thankful we are to be for the culture we're in and the year we're in, you know. But think about it in that culture, you know, blind people. You know, they were one of the things, they were always hurt. They were always bleeding. They were always bumping here and there and falling and getting hurt. Because they were blind. And spiritually speaking, or think about, just look at your family. Look at all around. Look at the neighborhood. Look at our cities. Just look at the newspaper. Hear the television. People are hurt. People are bumping here and there. I remember clearly, even my own family, immediate family. I remember my mom, she's very dramatic. She speaks very expressive, I would say. And I remember about my sister, Olivia, and just the life she was living. And I remember my mom going, "Hey, Olivia, when are you going to learn? Look, you're going to mess up again. Will you ever learn?" And there she go, went bumping. But praise God, one day she came to know the Lord. And she was able to bring stability to her life. And by the way, think about what your life was before without Christ. Be grateful. Think about what your life will be without Christ. Have you ever thought about that? What would have happened if you had not come to know the Lord? We need to be thankful. We were blind. We were blind. And he says, sometimes blind, he says in Psalms 4:19, he says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not know what they stumble." Sometimes they're blinded. They're blinded by religion. They're blinded by religion. And I can think of a picture goes to when I was a teenager. I went to visit my sister in Mexico City, and she took me to what I call the Basilica of Guadalupe in Mexico City. And I'll never forget this image. I noticed all these people walking, hundreds of them. It was like a huge line of people walking, but you know how they walk? Like this. And they had the rosary, and they were saying their prayers. And as we got closer and closer, I looked at what I had never imagined, ever seen anything. Why are they doing that? And then you can see all the blood. There was like a stream of blood on that little road they were walking in. As people, they messed up their knees, and then you could see their bones. And somebody told me that some of those people had to end up in the hospital. They thought that somehow they could be right with God by doing that sacrifice. How sad. He had to break our hearts. And I know our brothers here that will be going to the Philippines, they will get to see a lot of that. And we need to be heartbroken. I feel like going and shaking him and wake up. You don't do that. That's from the devil. That's Satan. They need the Lord. They need salvation. So we're blinded sometimes by religion. Other people are blinded by money. You know, sometimes we looked at a nice house. Oh, look at the house they have. Look at their car they're driving. Look at where they work. They're doing good. No, they're not, if they don't know the Lord. No, they're not. Their condition is terrible. If they die, they have a heart attack. They're going to go to hell for all eternity. They need the Lord. And don't you be fooled. and think that somehow they're going to make it. Oh, yeah, they even go to church. Yeah. They just go to church. Maybe those people, they go to church, they don't know the Lord. But somehow we think they're going to make it. 2 Corinthians 4:4, he says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the gospel of Jesus, of Christ, shall shine upon them. What a joy it is to see people coming from darkness to light. What a blessing. What a blessing. Let me tell you something. Please don't feel bad for missionaries. Oh, if I had 100 lives and I live, I would do exactly the same what I have done. I will not exchange it for anything. There's nothing more exciting to see people, lives transformed. I can think of what God is doing with the rehab. You know, some of those people, some of those men, they've been in drugs for 10, 15, 20 years or more. And they're coming to know the Lord. And many of them are really serious about the Lord. I'll never forget, as I was preaching there on a Saturday, right before I came, and one of the Ricardo short guy, I think we saw his picture over here, where he has those tattoos all over, but one of them right here in his forehead and his side. And I remember him as I presented the challenge. Listen, you need to get saved. God loves you. God wants to save you. There is hope. At the end of the meeting, he came to me, and boy, there were tears in his eyes, and he said, Pastor, are you serious? Is there really hope for me? I don't want to continue this way. It's a big mess. I don't want to continue. Have you seen anybody? Has anybody been transformed, as you said? Anybody gotten out of them? What a blessing. And God is doing. Can I tell you this? Just this last week, I got a picture through WhatsApp, and there was this what is his name? Meyer, Carlitos Meyer, with a picture. He said he saw his dad for the first time in 5 years. He had not spoken to his dad. He had not seen his brothers and sisters for 5 years. But he came to know the Lord. And what a loving man, guy. Just what God is doing in his life. And you know, I can tell you testimony after testimony. I can tell you about Jose and Alicia Villanueva. When we first met them, they didn't want to hear anything. Ruth and I, we were going door to door. That was 25 years ago, about a few months after we got there. And we went to their door, and they said, no, thank you. And so I was given some literature. He says, well, we're not going to read it. Might as well give it. You're wasting your time. Give it to somebody else. But I said, you know what? Please take it. You will need it one day. And so I gave him a track and information about the church. And what weeks, months went by. One day, somebody said, oh, they want you at the door. I was in the meeting. So I went over there, and they said, this big, tall guy right in front of us, he says, do you remember me? I looked at him. I said, you know, I think, well, don't you live in such and such? He said, yeah, I do. He says, you know, when you came, I told you that we didn't need it. We didn't need God. And you insisted, you gave us some literature, and And, you know, this morning, I was just about to do something crazy. I was just about to do something really crazy. But then I remember where my wife had left the little booklet you gave us. And I went and I picked it up and I read it. And it says here that I can have hope and my life can be changed and transformed. And there is hope for me. I said, look, I'm coming over to your house in a few minutes. I'll meet you over there. What a blessing it was to go, to see him, lead him to Christ. We knelt down. Oh boy, we cried. He cried like a little baby. I cried with him. And then the wife, it took a while for the wife because she didn't believe that he was changed. He was changed man. But she also got saved. And some of you remember Jose Villanueva, tall guy. He's Alvaro's dad. Some of you remember Alvaro? He was, in fact, he's a deacon in our church. So that's their parents. And you know, what a blessing. They had already been divorced, this couple. So after that, he said, what do we want? Let's get married again. Well, the whole neighborhood knew about how they could get married again. They already divorced. And we have a few cases like that. Praise God. You know, as I think about that, it's this song comes to my mind. I'm not going to sing it because you will start walking out. But let me tell you, it says, how beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light. You know this song? Stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Well, number one, we say unsaved people are blind. Unsaved people are blind, but it gets worse. Let's go back to the verse. He says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. What else? And from the power of Satan unto God. So being blind, that's terrible. But it even goes deeper than that. He says that unsaved people, people that still do not know the Lord, people that still have not gotten saved, we are told that they are under the power of Satan. Not everybody in the same degree, but every unbeliever, they are under the power of Satan. And you have to be thankful because I and you, before we came to Christ, we were under the power of Satan. Some more, others less. But we were under the power of Satan. Just as you think about what has happened in the last few hours. Somebody. How could you explain? Why would anybody, well, load up this gun and go at the supermarket in Colorado and start shooting people? How would anybody will go and load all these guns and go and start killing little children as it happens in a regular basis, sadly? How would anybody put all these explosives all around it and blow themselves up and kill as many people as possible? Who is behind that? Satan. I had a lady one time, he says, you know, Pastor, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Satan. What? I don't know exactly what she meant, but you better believe it. Satan is powerful. He's not the all-powerful, praise God, but he has power. And you better be careful. He could really mess up your life. You need to be serious and walking with the Lord. Don't give the Satan any room. So unsaved people, we're told, are under the power of Satan. They are deceived by Satan, and he messes up their lives. Please pray. I'm going to ask you tonight, if you would please pray especially for one of the men. His name is Pablo Soria. One of the men at the rehab. He was doing really good. But he's really struggling. You know, all drugs there mess you up so bad. And there's no doubt that Satan is behind that. And he just let me, which I'm really, really pleased. I just got a message from him today. And he messed up, but he, we're learning as a church on how to deal with all those people. We're learning. It's quite an experience. But what a blessing is to he ask the Lord to forgive him. And he just, I mean, he's heartbroken. And please pray for him, for Pablo Soria, if you can remember him, please. So we said the unsaved people are blind. Then number two, unsaved people are under the power of Satan. And number three, unsaved people are going to hell for all eternity. Let's read verse 18 again. It says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And then he says, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I don't know. I remember when I was with a man from Colonia, and we would go on the road, and he cut wood. That was his business. And he was telling me one day, he said, Pastor, you know, you point out to any tree, and I could tell you how much wood I could get out of it, how many feet of meters of wood I could get out of it. So I was, really? So, okay, tell me about that one. He would say, okay, so many. I don't know whether he would tell me the truth or not. but then I'll say, what about that one? I'll say, oh, that's not going to much. He could kick up. But you know what? Then that made me think. So when this man, he saw trees, he saw wood. When we see people, what do we see? Some of us are looking down, and you're too busy looking at yourself. You need to lift up your eyes and look unto the fields. They're white for harvesting. You have co-workers that need the Lord. Who is going to invite them to church? Who? Who's praying for them? Who is going to extend them an invitation to come to church? Who is going to give them the gospel? The Jehovah Witnesses? The Mormons? The cults? God has placed you there for a purpose. We have been left here for a mission. Dear people, it's not that the missionaries have a mission. We have a mission thousands of miles away. But you have a mission here. Oh, it is so sad when Christians don't realize that they have a mission. There are unsaved people all around us. Isn't that true? That's one of the struggles sometimes that we have as missionaries. I remember my dad, he got saved at an advanced age. I led him to the Lord. But one day I remember when I told him, one day I really had to really pray. I was really kind of scared to tell my dad we were going to Uruguay. So finally I called him up. And as I say, my dad, he's never in the military, but he should have been. He's short, but boy. So I called my dad and I said, Dad, we're going to go to Uruguay. Oh, I said, good. Good, good. When are you getting back? Dad, we're going to go as missionaries. Oh, You're telling me you're going to go live there? I say, yes, sir. Wait a minute. Why are you going backwards? Archie, I brought you to this country so you could get ahead. Don't you know the millions of people in Latin America that are trying to come into this country? Do you know that? And do you know why they're going to come to here? I said, yes, Dad. Okay, they're going to come here because there's a future here. But you're going to go back? Why are you going to mess up your family? Archie, you need to come back to your senses. Then he got a little bit more spiritual. And he said, well, by the way, Archie, you know, I was over there. I visited you not long ago. My question to you is this. I noticed you had a good ministry there, a good church there in Uruguay, I mean in Dallas. So my question to you is this. Did everybody get saved in Dallas? Is everybody saved there? He was pushing me, so I had to say, no, Dad, of course not. He says, then I don't understand. Why didn't you finish the task over there? He doesn't make any sense. Well, because that's what we struggle, some of us missionaries, when God calls us, and we struggle with that. There are unsaved people here, but the fact is that God calls us. And yes, like in Philip in Samaria, people getting saved right and left, but God called them and said, I want you to go over there. In the middle of nowhere, he obeyed. And as a consequence, he led a person. He was the first African to get saved. So God has a mission for us. So he calls us to far lands away, and may God help us to say, here am I, Lord, send me. And I made us, here am I. I'm so grateful. But let me tell you, you have a mission field here. There are unsaved people all around us. You need to open your mouth. Well, as we remember that I said why we read that verse, let's go back. Remember verse 28? He says, then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. You know, it's sad because here Agrippa, King Agrippa, didn't get saved, almost. Like he refused, he rejected the gospel. The apostle Paul preached unto him the gospel. That word persuaded is like a fight, mind to mind. And he refused, how sad. But you know what? Paul did his job. You know what? Sometimes we don't. So sometimes we think like we need to convert somebody. We're nothing. Our responsibility is to, we're the messengers. The apostle Paul came to the church of Philippi, remember that? And he said he was preaching, he opened his mouth, and God opened Lydia's heart. And she got saved. We need to open our mouth. And dear people, what have you opened your mouth for lately at work? Or with family? Or with a neighbor? Have you talked about the weather? Have you talked about economy? What about politics? All that's fine, but when are you going to get to talk about the Lord? When are you going to extend an invitation? Hey, would you come with me to church this Sunday? You see, we're all here this evening because somebody cared for us. Aren't you glad? So for some of you, it was a grandmother that never gave up. And we can never give up on praying for relatives and neighbors and co-workers. We can't give up. But we do need to be in a constantly, you know, giving them out literature. Inviting them to church. What a blessing. You're here because somebody cared for you. Now it's our responsibility. As we close, I see some young people here, young families. Maybe God is calling you to the mission field. Parents, are you willing to? I don't know. Have you been praying that your kids will go into full-time Christian work? Do you all know what's going on right now? Do you know that we're in trouble? You know that we are many of our churches don't have a pastor. What a blessing. You have two pastors here. Praise God. Can I tell you that our schools, they're coming down and down less and less. We have many of them studying different things, but not as many as 10 years ago studying for the ministry. Why? Parents, are you praying for your grandkids? Are you praying for your children? Somebody, I heard this testimony, a man, he said, oh, he says, when missionary conferences, I made sure my kids were not there. Because I was afraid. I knew that those missionaries will be there challenging kids, young people to surrender to missions, and that scared me to death. I didn't want my kids to end up in a third world country. I didn't want my grandkids to grow up in thousands of miles away. How sad. How sad. What about you? Grandmothers, mothers here. Some of you have no problem giving to missions. Praise God. I'm not saying amen to that, but are you willing to give your kids? Are you willing to give your grandkids and suffer? I say that they could end up thousands of miles away. The parents of this young couple here, they're giving that up. And I don't even know if they know the Lord, but their grandkids are going to end up far away. And I know that's hard. But we need to do whatever God is asking us to do. What is the Lord asking you to do this evening? Maybe God is calling you to salvation. I don't know if you know if you're being saved. You know, God knows. But maybe you're here and you say, I'm not sure. Don't mess up with eternity. If you're here and you're not sure that you're going to go to heaven, why don't you call upon the Lord today? This evening, this could be the greatest evening in your life. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Repent of your sins and call upon the Lord and He will save you forever. Maybe some of you want to say, here am I, Lord. Maybe God is dealing with you about going to missions. Why don't you make that decision? Why don't you say, God, here am I, Lord, send me. I'm not sure exactly where, but I'm going to go whatever you call me. Maybe God is calling you to be a pastor. Maybe God is calling you to be a pastor's wife. I pray that you will respond. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for Grace Baptist Church. Thank you for their love for you, obvious commitment to reach not just Taylorville, but all around here and to the ends of the world. Thank you for allowing Ruth, myself, my family, to be their representatives for you there in Uruguay. Thank you for the honor you've given us. Yeah. To be their missionaries. And God, please continue to work in our hearts. If there is somebody here this evening that needs to be saved, does not know, has issues, that's not sure that he will spend eternity with you, God, we pray that this person, whoever he may be, that he will deal with it as quickly as possible. If anybody's being called to serve you full time, I pray also that they will respond to you. Thank you. We pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.